You are back with the conversation. No one disputes that we need more housing here in the state, but the question is, how do we get the units built? HPR's Ryan Finnerty joins us now with more on that. Good morning.
Hey, Catherine. Yeah, and so for a little bit of background, everybody knows it's expensive in Hawaii, but a big part of that is housing, and a big part of the reason housing is expensive is there is more demand than there is supply. And the State Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism projects that the statewide will need 65,000 new homes by 2025 to correct this shortage. And about 40% of those are on Oahu, so the lion's share. But Maui and Hawaii Island both also need quite a bit, between 10 and 20,000 new units on each of those islands. And so the big question is, how do we do that? How do we get there? And State Senator Stanley Chang, who's from Oahu, the Kahala area, convened a summit recently to bring together different people from the development industry, construction, finance, public utilities, and government to explore some of these issues surrounding how we can address that housing shortage and how what it would actually take to build that much housing. One of the major issues that was discussed was infrastructure. If you're going to build 65,000 new housing units, that means that you need a lot of new connections to sewer, water, and electricity. And the experts present started with the idea that it's more efficient to increase density in areas that are already serviced by those utilities than it is to extend utilities out into undeveloped areas.
These kind of large programs, large wastewater projects, they do take time. What we need to know is, where is the development happening?
Are you placing those developments in areas where we have the system capacity? Because you're not adding tens of miles of pipeline that has to be repaired and replaced over time.
And that was Tim Houghton from the City and County of Honolulu and Barry Usagawa from the Honolulu Board of Water Supply. So they're players in Oahu's sewer and drinking water network. And so what this means is that communities like urban Honolulu, Hilo, and Wailuku are going to be where the new housing gets built, most likely, rather than out in undeveloped land. And because the summit was on Oahu, many of the experts were pulled from the Honolulu area, and they focused on the specific issues facing Honolulu and building more housing. But a lot of the themes are kind of universal and just need to be tweaked with each specific community's particular concerns.
Right, and the idea is that the density, they want to go where the rail route is. You know, there's a lot of talk about that.
Yeah, that's the plan on Oahu. And so you heard those guys talking about, we need to know where the development's going to be. Here on Oahu, we kind of know that the plan is to build along the rail corridor. On neighbor islands, that's, you know, maybe not so definite. So those are the kind of conversations that need to get had. And here on Oahu, one of the major issues has been sewer capacity. That's been a big impediment to development. There was actually a developer in the audience, not part of one of the panels, who during the question portion got up and said that his firm has had building permits for housing projects denied because there wasn't sewer capacity in the area where they wanted to build. And as we heard Tim Houghton say, officials kind of need to know where they're going to put in that extra capacity because it takes so long. Some of these projects are years. I was looking at a few that are under development right now, and there really wasn't one that was less than 2 or 3 years from planning to construction and completion. Some of them are 5 years or 10 years, and he said that the board of, or that the city and county has 15-year plans out for where they're going to build. So it takes a long time, and that's really the most outstanding issue when it comes to building more housing. But there's also the issue of water. You can't have sewer without water. Everybody needs drinking water to cook and for sanitation. And Barry Usagawa, who we heard from earlier from the Board of Water Supply, was one of the officials who spoke. And he echoed the importance in that clip of building around developed infrastructure that the board already has in place. And the good news when it comes to water, at least on Oahu, is that there's plenty of water available. The Board of Water Supply maintains sustainable pumping limits for the island's 24 aquifers. And what that means is they aren't at risk of being depleted. So they make sure that we're not pumping above the recharge rate. But he did say that the aquifer that supplies urban Honolulu is near that sustainable limit. So we can't pump much more water out of that particular aquifer. So what they do is they have a series of pipelines that move water around the island. So from the rainy windward side, those aquifers might get recharged more quickly. They have a smaller population. Water can actually be piped to other parts of the island where it's needed. West Oahu, where there's been a lot of development in the last 20 years, is drier. So those aquifers can be at risk of depletion. So there's some pipelines that bring water from different parts of the island to there and into town. There's 2,000 miles of pipeline already in place, which I thought was a pretty staggering number. And so the point was kind of that we need to build around that existing infrastructure, and doing so will reduce both the cost of new construction, but also the time it takes to get it up, because this is a pretty pressing issue. 65,000 new units by 2025, the state Department of Business, Economic Development, and Tourism says. One of the other major issues that was raised is, so you've got the land, you've got the utilities ready, now you actually have to build something. How do you build it in a way that allows you to sell units cheaply, in a way that's actually at a price that's actually affordable to regular people? There's a lot of planning that has to go into that. We know it's going to need to be high density style apartment buildings, because we're building in an already developed area. Those are more efficient than single family homes. But those types of buildings are really expensive to make. There's a lot of drilling that has to go on, a lot of concrete, a lot of construction, a lot of labor costs. They're time consuming. So those costs can really add up. And cause those units to be a lot more expensive. So one of the guys who spoke at this summit was Michael Vacchio. He's with the local venture capital firm JL Capital. And he says that developing this kind of housing cheaply in mass quantities will require a whole new approach to design and building.
To build these buildings for this cost, you have to change the rules. You have to change your typical approach to buildings. Typical approach is you design, you bid, you value engineer, and you build. You lose time, you lose everything. It just becomes a harder process. So the idea is, if you flipped the whole design process on its head, what would happen? Don't design from the outside in. Design from the inside out. Efficiency, cores, that's what you have to look at. It's all about efficiency.
And so he gave a couple examples of that. His first one was, you need to build tall buildings. Taller buildings allow for more units, which allow you to distribute those construction costs over more buyers, basically. And he said that when it comes to building a tall building like this, most of the cost is actually in the foundation, in the base. That's where you spend the most time and money, so that when you're building up, it allows you to distribute those foundation costs. Another thing he mentioned, minimizing amenities like pools. Those are really expensive to put in and then maintain once people are actually living there. And elaborate exterior facades. A lot of the buildings that have gone up in Ala Moana and Honolulu have these really visually appealing designs, but that makes them very time consuming and expensive to bring in that special glass and for laborers to put in. So all things like that you can kind of simplify, make your floor plan in such a way that the building can go up quickly and easily, and that allows you to put housing up at a cheaper price.
Do they talk a lot about tax credits?
That was a point of discussion. There weren't a ton of public officials, elected officials talking about that. Some of the developers, mentioned that these things are out there. There was one gentleman from a local contracting firm who said that it's really not realistic to think the building industry is going to be able to do this without help. And his sort of implication was, we're going to need some kind of help from different stakeholders, including government, in the form of tax credits or changes to building standards, all of which we've seen in the last year.
Right. In Kaka'ako in particular, I think they had developer Stanford Carr has worked with the Housing Corporation, with those tax credits to get some of these mix of units up, so it's not just all luxury.
Yeah, and we saw the Honolulu City Council this past year passed a law signed by the mayor that eased some of the building restrictions for these type of low-cost, affordable units. So there's some things out there in the works to try and make this idea a reality. But, you know, as we said in the beginning, it's going to be a heavy lift, 65,000 units statewide in the next 6 years.
Yeah, we can't get it built fast enough. Ryan, thank you.
Sure thing.
We've been talking to Ryan Finnerty about the housing challenges ahead for the state. To read his stories, go to hawaiipublicradio.org.